Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetslot, and we are going to talk about parenting like we normally do. Elena lives in the Netherlands, and we connect every once in a while to do these podcasts for folks, and we hope that you're enjoying them. We hope that you'll ask us for different topics. We've got a lot of ideas for topics, so we can keep going here, but if you have something specific you're interested in, let us know. Elena, I'm glad to have you with us today. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone that's listening. Yes, indeed. Very nice to be together again. Today, we're going to continue our conversation around your book that we started a few episodes ago, Equipping Your Child to Self-Regulate Emotions. I know that book is available online free on your website, biblicalparenting.org. So we continue today, and we're today in chapter 5, actually just at the beginning. And you are starting chapter 5 in a way which is very interesting. You call this understanding cyclonic thinking, and I've never really came across that before, that kind of terminology. So would love to hear what exactly is that and how should we as parents think about it.
Well, I coined the term cyclonic thinking for this book because I find that children get stuck in patterns of thinking that are counterproductive. And those kinds of thinking seem to go in a certain cyclonic effect for children. They get stuck. And then once they get stuck in these patterns, it's really hard to get them out. So When we recognize that there are these cyclonic patterns that children have, then we can help them get out of that. We can set some pillars. You know, when you have a cyclone going on, if you can get these pillars going on inside of the heart, they stop the cyclone from going around. So there are certain parenting things we can do that can help get kids off this cyclonic thinking. But it's hard. It starts very simply, but then it develops into significant patterns in children's lives. It's self-defeating for them. So, yeah, it's difficult. And it can happen in anger, anxiety. It can happen in disappointment. All of these things where children start developing all kinds of bad thinking patterns, they need to change in order for them to be healthy and responsible with their own emotions.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting as well. And it sounds like there is something we as parents can think about at a more deeper level. So not just to react on the emotion, but to think about how this works and how how it actually how our children seem to be doing so, or developing or working around their emotions. So that's a very nice way of thinking. And Dr. Scott, today I wanted actually to zoom in the first part of this cyclonic thinking, as you call it, with the children reacting to poorly correction. So basically talking about correction and when our children don't react good to that. So you mentioned here in the book, cyclonic thinking begins like raindrops, gradually intensifying into a massive storm that leaves this destruction in its wake. So are you saying that most of the time, the beginning, the raindrops are a child reacting bad to correction?
I would say that we often see this cyclonic thinking evident pretty quickly in a child who doesn't respond to correction well. In fact, let me just give you the different steps or the different parts of the cyclonic thinking. Then we'll zero in on this one, a child responds poorly to correction. So when a parent calls my office and says, my child's angry and I don't know what to do. He's got some real difficulties here in his anger. And I listen to them for a little bit to find out if I sense there's a problem in this area. Then I say, let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you these 8 things. You tell me how many of these are true with your child. And so I say, 1, the child responds poorly to correction, either blames or rationalizes or justifies or defends or something like that, and then develops a victim mentality that all my problems are somebody else's fault. So there's a lot of blaming going on. Then there's this entitlement mentality that says, you owe me. Then we have these 3 statements that children make. That's not fair. You don't listen to me. You don't understand me. And that creates this whole whirlpool of negativity, I call it, where children have their own variety of ways that they're negative. Some are sarcastic, some are mean, some are argumentative, Some are just defiant. Some complain a lot. And this kind of a negativity is really difficult, creates a lot of tension in a family. And then, of course, that leads to this deeper sense of anger and bitterness. And bitterness is anger that's that controls you, or that creates an bitterness creates an anger that seems greater than the situation warrants. So what we're trying to do is help children be able to deal with it. So I do think it's helpful if we can go back to the first one, responding poorly to correction, to address that more clearly.
Yes, I think would be good to actually remind parents that we do have an episode where we talk about correction specifically, and they can dive deeper into that. I think it would be good, Dr. Scott, to start by perhaps looking into what exactly makes children react to correction. We speak about that a lot when we're working with parents on our parenting program a lot, and we talk about actually the challenges in their heart and the let's say the reasons why this happens a lot of the times. What would you say around these ones?
Well, I think that it's important to acknowledge that children, when they are corrected, sometimes enter into what we call shame, and they shame themselves. I suppose sometimes parents shame their kids, but let's assume parents are doing the right thing, mm-hmm. and children are responding poorly to it. They view shame as the primary feeling that they have. Now, guilt is a good emotion that we need to feel, because guilt prompts us to repentance, mm-hmm. and repentance is a very important quality that we all need. Repentance is this invitation to God's grace. It's not a condemnation that many children imagine. So this this shame that they feel, though, is counterproductive. Shame and guilt are two different things. Shame says I'm a bad person. Guilt says I've done something wrong. Shame focuses on the person itself and says I'm inadequate, unworthy, unloved. And so children react to that. So part of this is a training experience. You know, that we learn valuable things through correction. And anybody who learns through natural consequences, certainly a scientist does experiments so they can fail and see what doesn't work, so that they can move on. People who invent things, they use correction constructively. I tell children that you can learn things in a lot of different ways by watching a video, listening to a teacher, reading a book, and so on. But one of the key ways you learn is through correction. If you can respond well to correction, you can grow faster, learn faster, and so on. So it's this idea that we want to teach our children. And some children are resistant to this. They don't understand it. They don't get it. And so we have to go overboard, I think, to teach children how to respond better to correction. If we can do this one thing of responding better to correction in children's lives, then we can stop much of the cyclonic thinking, because they can learn. It's an off-ramp, I would say, an off-ramp that takes us off this cyclonic thinking, because children can now grow from the experience. I think that it means that parents need to be careful how they correct. Yelling mm-hmm. at children tends to be communicated as shame. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to be yelling at kids, but I do think we want to discipline them and correct them. I think we want to look for ways to help them to grow and learn. I think that we, of course, in the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program, we streamline this pretty well for parents. We give them exact words to use. We tell them how to do this, because correction is a valuable tool in family life, and every child needs to learn how to be corrected. So we train parents how to do this very specifically. But children who are resistant to this correction need extra care here. They need extra help. So we have something we call positive conclusion, for example. Mm. At the end of a correction episode, we want to turn it into something positive, but we start like God does with us. We say to a child, what did you do wrong? Confession is your first step. And a child will often want to blame the problem or doesn't want to admit that they've done something wrong. And so by asking the question, what did you do wrong? Mm. The beginning of the positive conclusion, then children really need to answer that question. It helps them take responsibility for themselves, which is a key element in this whole process of receiving correction well. You have to admit when you've done something wrong. If it's always somebody else's fault and you're a victim, then we have a problem. So this correction is a key element that we must work on to help children be more successful in getting rid of their cyclonic thinking. And angry people tend not to receive correction very well.
Yeah. Dr. Scott, I want to go back to something you mentioned. And you developed on that a bit, but you mentioned that it can be possible that knowingly or unknowingly parents can shame their children. And I'm wondering if you can, you spoke just about, you know, shouting or being perhaps having a loud tone of voice when we correct our children. What are other ways or maybe words we're using, maybe even unknowingly, that we can bring that shame without realizing?
Yeah, I think that when we compare children to other children, when we use words like you always do this, you never do this, or we just express our own emotions in ways that are unproductive, then we're no longer doing discipline. Discipline is training, it's teaching. Now we have our own issues we're trying to take out on the child because this child has just disrupted our day, or we didn't want to do correction right now, or we have other things we're trying to get done. And so we end up then taking it out on kids, and that's unproductive. So we have to have a plan for moving forward. Now, I think correction can be done in a much more orderly way. I think that parents often move to yelling because they haven't corrected early enough, that they need to stop the process earlier. They need to say, whoa, whoa, you're arguing. I'm not going to talk to you right now. We can't, if you're arguing with me. So we move to the process that's arguing instead of the issue, which is the dirty shirt or the movie or whatever. So we move to this way that the child's treating us sooner, and that can help a lot with kids who have ADHD. There's a lot of correction involved in that process of raising a child who has ADHD because they've crossed the line so many times. And so what we're trying to do in that case is we're saying, whoops, that was a wrong response. Can you try again? No, we're trying to use different ways to correct a child so that they don't develop this shame attitude inside of their own hearts. That's just one of the reasons. There's probably other reasons why kids don't like to be corrected. Some children have a perfectionist mentality. Some kids just don't like to be wrong. They don't have the humility that they need. So it's not always a resistance to correction because of shame. Sometimes children just need more humility in their lives. And so we can develop that in different ways. I like it when parents play games with their kids and beat them. And so a child loses because some children don't like to lose. I just think all of that develops humility, but we don't rub it in. You know, we talk about it and say, hey, if I win, what's something you can say to me or to yourself about me winning? What if you win, what's something you can say to yourself about you winning and I lost? Because we want children to be able to deal with the challenges they face in life. Correction. Here's a fun game. For a child who doesn't like correction, we have a game that we use. I use it in the office. It happens to be in our hero training camp, children's curriculum, where you take these cards. Now, we suggest we make the cards in the game, but you can use a deck of cards. You take all the red cards, and you only use red cards, and you turn them all upside down. You play a matching game. And the matching game is a game where if you turn one card over, then you look for another card, they're all upside down, and you turn another card over, and if they match, then everything's good. If they don't match, then you've made a mistake. Okay, and when you made a mistake, you say these words, oops, I was wrong, I can learn from that. Those are the words children need to be able to say in life. Oops, I was wrong, I can learn from that. Those are key words that they learn in correction. So saying, oops, I was wrong, I can learn from that is a strategic way that children can start practicing. Now, when you're playing a matching game, you'll probably have to say those words 20 times in the game, and then we can apply them to life. Why don't you say those words we said in the game? Oops, I was wrong. I can learn from that. What can we learn from that experience? So there's a lot going on here in correction, and we really want to help our kids deal better with it so that we can cut down on this cyclonic thing, because a poor response to correction leads to all kinds of other bad things in their minds, that it's not my fault, and I can blame it on other people and all these other things. So a poor response to correction is a problem. Let's teach children how to respond to correction wisely.
Yeah, and I think that's again, something you mentioned there, which is quite important. And for every part of the correction cycle we do. And that's training and trying to go back to the process instead of getting caught up emotionally with the child. And in that, because children love drama and they will try to bring us into their little drama. So it's very important indeed. And I think last week or when we had the other episode, Dr. Scott, we were referring to one of the challenges children have with anger or with the response to a no. You mentioned something along the lines, then we can teach our children to say, for example, I don't like this, but that's okay, or I don't agree with this, or but that's okay. And I think that's also something very important to have our children repeat, and so they can get used to saying that and thinking that, right?
Yes, it's true. I think children have scripts that they play in their heads, and scripts often make it hard for them to receive correction. Sometimes they just have a desire that they want, and the correction stops them from doing what they want to do. And when that takes place, then they react. And so they, you know, they're saying these things inside. My parents are unfair. They never treat me the right way. And so they have this attitude going on. This is the cyclonic thinking we're talking about. So I think that it's helpful for parents to choose words that they say to children that children can say to themselves. We do this in lots of different ways. Some of the words that parents can say in this area of correction to children are to say, what did you do wrong? Because that's the question children should be asking themselves. What can I do differently next time? A great question children can ask themselves. So the process that we take parents through in our training shows them these scripts that they can use to help children learn how to say the things that are better and more appropriate to take the place of the poor responses that they have.
Yeah. And I think it's important also to realize that sometimes, of course, there are behaviors that we see in our children or the way their attitude that lets us know what's going on in their heart. Many children are not so easy to open up. But I think if we listen to our children long enough, we can also notice that the pushbacks they have, the beliefs they have in their heart that we can kind of work to try to change, because it's challenging to work towards something that we don't really know. So we need to listen and we need to pay attention to what our children are saying and what goes on in their minds. Very good, Dr. Scott. I really enjoyed this conversation. We're coming now towards the end of our episode, and I do want to encourage parents to go back and look at our archive. We have about 50 episodes recorded so far and online. Please have a listen to more of our very practical topics we are debating here. We're bringing all sorts of ideas to you, and give us a review that helps us to be found on the platform you are listening. And as well, share it with somebody who you think might benefit from it. And next time, we'll actually go further with the chapter 5 in the book, and we'll talk about different mentalities. We'll talk about victim mentality, entitlement mentality. So that's also something very interesting to look forward to. And before we close, Dr. Scott, are there any last advices you would like to give to parents who are having children, who want to start this journey with children who are responding, don't respond good to correction? Do you have any advice to them further?
I think that children tend to be egocentric, that they believe that they're right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes parents allow children a lot of choices, or they give them too much freedom, or they let them direct the traffic of life too much. And don't require that they give up their agenda. I just think that humilities develop when we let go of our desires and our desire to be right, and we learn. And so I do think that one of the things that parents can do is love their kids by setting limits. And when they do that, children develop more humility. It's all part of the process of training children. There's an attitude that exists in our world today that says give children what they want or make them happy. And if their pleasure level is high, then they'll have good self-concept and so on. I think that pleasure is a byproduct of a mission-oriented view of life, and children really need to learn character, and that's going to help them move forward. So think bigger about this idea of correction. It's a great tool to help child develop some of the integrity or the humility necessary to be successful in life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for all your advice, for all your guidance to parents. And until next time, God bless you.